All right, prayer. All earthly things with earth will fade away. But prayer grasps eternity. But I'm convinced of this, God does not hear prayer. He hears desperate prayer. Prayer is not a position, whether you're in the East. Prayer is not a position, it's a disposition. You get to the place where you'd rather sweat, you'd rather weep in His presence than laugh in anybody else's presence. You'd rather God whisper a secret into your heart that breaks you than somebody give you the prizes that all the world covets. Prayer is almost the greatest human privilege that we have.
Hello. Hey, everybody. I'm so thankful that we get to be here. All right, we've been starting out this way. We're going to start again, like always. You got to let two people know. That means everybody's going to get talked to. God sees me, God hears me, and God loves me. Come on, we got to let them know. We got to say it. We got to say it like it matters. God sees me, God hears me, and God loves me. I'm so thankful that we have been in this series on prayer over these past few weeks. If you're just tuning in with us, we're thankful that you're here, because the reason we're walking through this series is, let's be honest, wherever you are on the spectrum of following Jesus, you've prayed. When I say prayer, you have something that evokes an image or an emotion in your head. Maybe it was a prayer that God answered, that got celebrated. Maybe you said, God, get me out of this situation. You were in college and you said, hey, if I never... Lord, you prayed to the toilet bowl gods instead of praying to the real Lord and said, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this, I'll never party all night again, and the Lord saves you. Maybe it was a moment where you didn't get your prayer answered. Maybe you're still in the midst of a prayer. Maybe you've been praying the same prayer for years and it hasn't been answered. But wherever you are, whatever you are on the spectrum of following Jesus, we have all prayed. We've all prayed at some moment in time. We've all prayed and tried to take that step. And what we are walking through in this series is we've talked about a few methods of prayer. We're about to put up on the screen in a little bit the definition of prayer we're coming up with. But my prayer for us as we go through this series is Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 1:17. If you have your Bible, you don't have to go there, but it's going to be on the screen. If you don't, it says this. Paul says this all the way through. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. The reason we gather each and every week here at the Vine, the reason we do what we do, is because we want to know the Lord better. We pray that you come in each and every week, and that as you come in each and every week, you leave knowing the Lord better. And that's my prayer as we walk through this series. So as I get everything lined up, as always, you know, when you're trying to get everything going, I'm going to have to use my phone probably here in a moment. Because, you know, right when, I'm not one of those people that says Satan is going to stop you from doing something, because he's not. Because has Satan defeated the Lord yet? Will Satan defeat the Lord? Because he's going to come on what? A white horse? And on his thigh is going to be what? King of kings and Lord of lords. And when he comes, he's going to make all wrongs right. And he's going to take all the unjust things and he's going to judge them with his justice. And as we walk through that, and it walks through that, I just want to say today, that's what we can be celebrating as we walk through this thing called prayer. So if you got your Bible today, we're going to be in that familiar passage when we talk about prayer. When we talk about prayer, we think about the Lord's Prayer, don't we? That's usually what is invoked in our mind. And what we've been unpacking over these past few weeks isn't just that we say the Lord's Prayer, that it's not just words of the Lord's Prayer, but there's actually a model that Jesus has given us all the way through to help us pray, not only better, but to give us a framework to know God better. And so where you are today, man, oh man, I'm going to tell you sometimes, can anybody say, I'm so thankful Jesus didn't have to rely on technology sometimes. How about you? He had his own technology. I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to kick us off. I can't say that. That's bad. Never mind. Here we go. Sometimes you just take things and you say, why do you not work? Oh, it's going to work. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic. Krispy Kreme donuts. Discuss. Good, bad, indifferent. Hot Now signs on right now. See, I brought up something that's open, not Chick-fil-A. I'll bring it up again. So here we go. I'm sorry. Look, it came right up. So here we go. Before we get to Matthew 6 and we talk about our daily bread, let's define prayer again. Thank you, Jesus. You got that up because my brain is all over the place. And I'm thank you for your grace, Jesus, and for the grace of your people that put up with me every week. I pray that in this moment, your spirit would just be in this place because I know it is, and that we would leave here better than how we walked in. So here we go. Prayer. We define prayer. Prayer, really quick. The Holy Spirit could give you some more information on this, but prayer for me in my hard head is this. Prayer is continuing a conversation with God that he started with his word by his grace, which through faith leads to a full relationship with him. So prayer is continuing a conversation with God that he started with his word way back in the beginning before the foundations of earth by his grace, which through faith leads to a full relationship with him. And as we go, just to unpack this really quick, that is what you and I were created to be, in a full relationship with Creator God from the foundations of the earth. We know in Genesis 3, sin entered in and it broke that relationship. And so today when we talk about prayer, we always hear, we sing about Jesus, we just sang what Jesus is. Jesus is the bridge that healed that relationship for us, but it also leads us to give a shout of praise. And that's what we're going to dive into a little bit today as we unpack our daily bread, our daily bread, our daily bread. So if you've got your Bible, really quick, get to Matthew 6. That is where the Lord's Prayer is, the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, where the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along with us for free on our Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app. I didn't get to mention this earlier. I want to make sure I stay on point with it to help us all, but that's kind of like our information hub. You'll see our annual report in there, ways to give. You're going to see all the ministries we have, what we believe, but also in there, there's a Bible. You can join us in a Bible reading plan. There's also going to be notes tab where you can follow along with us there. But as always, I'm so thankful for our sowers. Zach works hard. He's going to kill me. He's probably going to say, he makes sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, the scripture's on the screen. And I'm so thankful for that. I just gripe about technology, but I'm thankful for technology that we can read. So I'm not going to say give a round of applause because I'm just like Zach. And if you did that, I'd probably want to punch you in the throat. But afterwards, let him know how much we love him because I'm so thankful that we get to have the scripture on screen today. So if you're with me, give me an amen. Let's go. I hear amen. So Jesus, come on, let's get here. We're going to get fired up. Mac, you got a Red Bull. We got the Holy Spirit. So here we go. Matthew 6, verse 9 through 11 says this. This then is how you should pray. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. That is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. That's what we're going to be in today. It's the fourth petition. So the reason we've been kind of defining prayer, we've gone through the different approaches to prayer. If you've been with us last week, we did Augustine's method. We're going to talk a little bit more on that today. If you were with us on Thursday nights, we did Luther's method 2 weeks ago. And this past week, we went through John Calvin's method of prayer. But the reason this matters is all of them would say when we get to this point where it says, give us this day our daily bread, we are petitioning for our needs, right? And the only way that we can do that is if our heart is in the right place. Our heart is aligned with the Lord. And so that's where we are in the Lord's Prayer. And that's where we are and when we're talking about having effective prayer. Now, what I love about this, and it says, give us today our daily bread. I say this a lot, but I'm gonna say it again. Does it say our monthly bread? I want us to think back. Remember in the Old Testament when the Israelites were wandering, God gave them manna for how much? A day. This is where that goes back to. So I don't know if you're like me. I'll tell you, as I grew up, I have anxiety. We all have anxiety, but I have anxiety if my gas needle gets below a quarter of a tank. I know that that's crazy, but y'all know I'm crazy. But for real, for me, if it gets past a quarter, and it goes back to my mother and my Papa Joe, he would always say, if it got past a half a tank, we were going to the store. And it's because he had a car when he was growing up that the gas gauge didn't work. And that passed on to my mother. It was the same way. If it's less than a half a tank, yeah, we got to go fill it up. For me, if it gets close to a quarter, we got to go fill it up. I got to do everything. So like right now, my car is close to a quarter. So you know where I'm going after it today. Like y'all can go to Waze. I'm going to the gas station. Like I got to get gas. I have anxiety. So let's think about this. How does this apply in prayer? So many times I get anxiety because I see my tank's only a quarter of a tank full. And I say, Jesus, that's not enough bread for me today. And he says, not only is it enough for you, it's an overflow for you. See, I'm mad because my gas gauge don't look full, what I think should be full. And Jesus is saying, hey, all you need today, son, is a quarter of a tank. And so when we have worry and anxiety, you know what we're doing? What I'm doing, I'm preaching to myself because I have to say this to remind myself. When I have worry and anxiety, I'm trying to take tomorrow's daily bread to fill me today. And I can't get tomorrow's bread today. And then when I get mad at God because I can't get tomorrow's bread today, I can't receive his bread for today. And so when we go to effective prayer, that's the alignment we have to be in when it says our daily bread. Now, I want us to think about this. How is this effective? Well, when we receive our daily bread, it's not just for us. We get to share it. So you hear us all the time here at the Vine say we're thankful for our sowers and how they steward their time, their talent, and their treasure. Why is that? Because in God's economy, there's never a famine. See, we are blessed with food, with shelter, employment. We are blessed with a great economy. We don't have to worry about a recession in God's economy because God's economy never lacks. We always have to overflow. And that's hard for us. It's hard for us in the season we're in, isn't it? Like, let's just be honest. Like, putting all our cards on the table, we get to this and we say, give us this day our daily bread. We think that it's just for me, but it's actually for me to share. It's actually for me to be and see that person on the way to Jericho that's stranded on the side of the road, beaten, naked, and left for dead, and share with that person. So many times where we are in our prayers, we can get so consumed with ourselves, the cocoa melon bus from last week, that we miss out on receiving the full benefit of today's daily bread. And so wherever you are right now, I hope that this would help you be encouraged that in God's economy, not only is there not a recession, it can work out like, is it Genesis 50:20, right, that Joseph says, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. And if we know Satan's going to be defeated, as he's already defeated, let's just be honest, then no matter what this world throws at us, not even death itself can make us think that we can't get our daily bread. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to get God's daily bread, whether it's here or I'm opening my eyes up there, right? And up there, it's going to be even better than it is down here because I'm going to have some wangs. I'm going to be in a resurrected body. I'm going to be in the body I was created to be in. And so wherever you are today and we get this, don't just say these words every morning as we say the prayer. Know what's behind it. So let's keep going on. So really quick, Augustine's method, and we'll unpack it a little bit, just a refresher for those who didn't get to hang out with us. He got to this third step. So remember, he kind of talked about our heart being aligned, correct with the Lord, and then we pray. But then he said this third step is required in our prayer, and it's this: adoration, petition, thanksgiving, and confession. Adoration, petition, thanksgiving, and confession. He said our prayer should have those four elements in it. And we can see it even in the Lord's Prayer. We should give adoration to the Lord. We should have petition, which is we're asking him for our needs. We should give him thanksgiving, and we should have confession. We can even look in today when we talk about give us this day our daily bread. We give him adoration because we know that God alone is the supplier of our daily bread. We're petitioning him for our needs, right? Give us this day our daily bread. So we're asking him alone who can provide it. We're giving him thanksgiving because we're praying with confident hope. He's going to give us the daily bread, right? Like, how crazy would it be that we keep going to God to say that and not expecting him to do it? And then there's a confession. And that's where the worry comes in. God, I'm sorry I'm not trying to receive your bread. I'm griping like the Israelites were, saying, man, I'm tired of bread. I need some meat. And he's throwing quail in front of me, right? And he's saying, son, I'm giving you everything that you need. So as we go forward, what does this look like for us all the way through? Well, I want us to look at kind of this adoration and thanksgiving side here in just a moment. Because that helps us understand even better how the petition and confession go. Parents, I want to ask you a question, just thinking through. Do your children trust you? That aren't teenagers yet, do they trust you? That was a big blow in there. That's terrible. Do you know why your children trust you? Because deep down, they know you have a better view of the world than they do. You actually have a higher view of the world than they do. That's childlike faith, church. Doesn't God have in his thoughts higher than our thoughts, in his ways higher than our? Doesn't he have a greater view of the world than us? So why do we tell God what we need instead of trusting him to supply it? See, as we go to this adoration, petition, thanksgiving, and confession, sometimes the best prayer we can pray is what we prayed last week. Yet not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And I'm telling you, that is the most dangerous prayer I think you can ever pray. Because he's going to do his will. And he's going to carry you down a place where it just seemed unimaginable that you could walk through. And he is going to be faithful. So as we do this, I want us to think of what adoration and thanksgiving is. What does this kind of look like? It's kind of like we rest and trust in him, but we have a confident hope. Because parents, what if your kids ask you for something and you never gave it to them? Would they trust you? Would they love you? Probably not. So now I want us to think about this. Is our attitude toward God that he never gives us what we want, or that he gives us all we need? Because as long as we're walking this earth, we're going to be that child to the Heavenly Father through Christ. So I want us to see this restful hope, this restful trust, excuse me, and confident hope. And if you got your Bible, let's get to Ephesians 3. We're going to flip there. Again, Paul is writing the church in Ephesians, and he unpacks this really quick. It's going to sound really familiar to each and every one of us, this passage. And it's one of my favorite passages, and I think that it's daily bread for all seasons. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and flip to Ephesians 3 and verse 14 to 19. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19. And it says this. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus saying, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." There's that prayer of faith, church, through faith. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God." So much in that. Listen, if you don't know what to pray for anybody, sometimes you just repeat that prayer and put their name in it. Let them know you prayed that over them. I would tell you, wouldn't that just be, if you knew somebody was praying that for you, wouldn't you be excited? It would get me excited. And so for us, as we walk through that, let's look at this really quick. We're talking about the petitions really quick. Look at these three petitions Paul has really quick. The first is found in verse 14 to 16. What is he saying realistically? He's saying he prays that all of us would have Christ in our hearts. Have Christ in our hearts. Why? Because we'd know that we got family. We know that we are in his family. And as we do that, we'll get to know God more. Because he's always got a seat for us at the table. You know, parents, the best thing you have for your kids is to know that they can come home. No matter what season they're in. When the whole world's rejected them, when they are coming to their senses in a faraway land because they long to fill their stomach with the pods from the pigs, and they know that they can come home. That's important. That's what Paul's praying. In Christ, we always have a way to come home and take bold steps. The second petition is in verse 17 and 18, and he says, "Now that you have Christ in your hearts, you can fully know the love of Christ." And the only way you know that, it's through faith. And how you live it out is love God, love others, right? Verse 18, that's so important to me. This is, and we'll unpack this even more really quick with a little bit of, with the time we spend together. Paul is saying that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of Christ is. Ain't he talking about a worship service, church? That's a worship service. That's what worship is. It's praise. That's what we do. As a matter of fact, as he talks about that, we even go even more. We actually live out Augustine's method in a worship service. The third petition he says is this, that we would be filled with the fullness of God through Christ. He said, to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with a measure of all the fullness of God. That can only be found through Christ. In other words, he's saying the greatest wisdom of it all is to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. To know who Jesus is, because only through that can you know who you were created to be. Imagine if you have a relative pass away and they live modestly. I mean, they're a penny pincher. Like you wouldn't know. And they pass away and they leave your name in the will. Now, you get that. Would you expect if they're a miser to get anything from them? No, old Scrooge over there didn't leave nothing. You know, he left it all to the stray cat. Praise Jesus' name. Pray for me. Scrooge ain't doing nothing. He didn't leave me nothing. So you go about your life. And you go live your life, and all of a sudden you get a call from the attorney who read the will and said, hey, we need you to come down here to pick this check up. Like, it's time, because if you don't cash it, I am. Like, let's just be real, right? The attorney's letting you know that. So you go down there. You're like, fine, I'm not going to take off work. I'm going to go after work one day, because it can't be that much. It's not that important. Only to see that they left you a fortune enough that you would never have to do a job you hated the rest of your life. You actually could do what you loved. In other words, Paul is saying here, that we are living poor while being rich if we don't live out Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. We are living poor while being rich. Without prayer, church, that's what a Christian life is. It's living poor while being rich. But when we pray, when we understand, when we have our hearts aligned, understanding our daily bread, that's when we get to live the rich life that Jesus came to give us, the John 10:10 life, the full life. And it's not just for us, it overflows to everyone who comes in our path. And so wherever we are, that's my prayer, is that we wouldn't live poor while being rich, and we would understand the riches that we have in God through Christ Jesus, that wisdom that we have. And so for each and every one of us, how does that play out? And how can we know if we're, okay, there's a better question. How do we know if we're living poor while being rich? My question is, what's your praise like? Because see, praise is adoration and thanksgiving. What do you adore? And what do you give thanks for? Because that's going to tell you where your riches lie. If you adore your bank account when it's low, it's going to be hard to give thanksgiving for it, ain't it? When it's your health and you get the diagnosis from the doctor, it's going to be hard to give. When it's your car and somebody breaks into it or somebody wrecks it, it's going to be hard to give thanksgiving for it. Where your praise is will tell you if you're living richly or living poorly in the Lord. And so that is why today I kind of want us to spend the last few minutes on that verse 18 of Ephesians 3 and talk about our praise. Verse 18, Paul just said he's describing a worship service. He said, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, right here, to grasp, to take hold of how high, how deep, how long, and how wide the love of Christ is. To grasp securely. Do we grasp God's promises in our prayer? See, we pray, and I say it because I have to be reminded that we have our hands open, and I pray, God, don't let me pick up anything that I'm not supposed to carry. I only want to hold on to what you've given me to carry. Otherwise, I'm trying to be you. Otherwise, I'm trying to save myself. Otherwise, I'm trying to figure it out on my own. So I want to grasp what you have for me today. And I don't know about you, but if there's anything I want to grasp, it's probably God's promise. Because you know what? As I grasp that, what is it that we can't be taken away from his hands, that can't be plucked from his hands? His grasp on us is so strong in Christ that nothing can take us away from him. See, that would make me want to overflow with praise. Maybe you don't. Maybe that doesn't make you want to overflow with praise. Sometimes, maybe even today as we get on the struggle bus, you don't want to give God some praise. But I just want you to think back to what life was like without Christ. Once again, what did you praise? Maybe you praised the weekend, because I hate that job. Maybe you praised finally seeing that person that you married, and now all of a sudden you take them for granted. Maybe you praised the kids, and now you get to be a grandparent, and you see the joy of it. As we said, the kids are grown up. It don't bother me none, right? It don't bother me. I don't care if they tear something up. It don't bother me. I used to worry about that. We talked about that, right? Y'all weren't on that one, the call. I'm just kidding. We celebrated that at Hope Rise a little bit last night. We talked about that. As we grow old, we get to see children. And imagine the joy we have in that and how much our Heavenly Father has in that. So what I'm getting at is, what did you praise before Jesus? Now think about, as you praise him, how much better it is. See, maybe, just maybe today, we have to be reminded that our praise should be what we adore and give thanksgiving for. See, our worship service, really quick, if you want to know what a worship service is set up like, sorry, Ruby, I'm going to repeat Thursday, so we'll repeat it a little bit if you didn't get to hear it, is this. Our worship service starts with adoration. We start adoring the Lord with a worship song, right? Then you have a petition where someone says, welcome, we're glad you're here. Here's the next step you can take. We petition you to know the Lord. Then we go to Thanksgiving. We got some worship again. And then we get to the end. We have an invitation of confession. Now, the cool part is we worship again at the end. But what if your prayer was that? It started with a worship song. It went to the Lord. Petitioned him for your needs and giving him thanksgiving that he's already given it to you. And it led to some confession. And it ended with a worship song. Have you ever tried that in your prayers? I don't know about you, but I have to have worship music when I do my quiet time or when I have to do anything. So it helps me out a lot. And I know maybe you're not a noisy person. Maybe you're a complete silence person. But when it comes to my quiet times, I either have to be in nature listening to something or I have to listen to worship songs. And I just started to notice my prayer and looking at my prayer journal, that's how Jesus speaks to me, to start with a worship song and end with a worship song. It just works for me. I don't know why. Maybe yours is different. Maybe yours just needs to start with one. But I would challenge you today, if your prayer life is just repeating the Lord's Prayer, there's so much more to it. Maybe you should dive in this week and give it a little change up as you adore the Lord, as you give thanksgiving to the Lord. So let's talk about this adoration and thanksgiving really quickly. Adoration. What do we adore? Parents, you adore that child when you see it for the first time, don't you? Because it brings you happiness. Don't talk about the diaper changes and all that comes later. That child still brings you happiness. I know, they may drive you crazy, but they bring you happiness. What brings us happiness? We chase because we adore it. So, do we delight in the Lord? It's my challenge to myself. Do I delight in the Lord as he delights in me coming into his presence in prayer and reading his word? Does that make me happy? Because if I delight in it, I'm going to want it more. I'm going to keep going to that. Anything in your life that brings you happiness, you're going to chase. But you see, when I say I go into the presence of the Lord, I actually get joy. That's greater than happiness. So I want it more. When I say adoration, how many of us have a favorite book or a favorite movie? Nobody. Praise Jesus. Thank you. That two people in the house of the Lord. I thought there was joy in the house of the Lord today. No, we don't have that apparently. We're going to be silent, even though we shout out your name, Jesus. So we're trying. So I'm trying to lead the charge. So Jesus, I'm going out before us all the way through. I almost brought 2 Chronicles 20. Y'all know how I roll with Jehoshaphat, and he goes out, and he was going to be praising. So we got to get on it. So listen, just think about it. Think about where we are as we go to adore. If you've got a favorite book or a favorite movie, do the people you love know it? Do they know it? No, they don't. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the opportunity today for the people you love to know. I love Christmas Vacation. I love you. So I tell you, I love Christmas Vacation. Why is it? Because I adore it. When we adore something that brings us happiness, we can't keep it to ourselves. We got to share it with everybody. Maybe you got a favorite destination. Maybe you have a favorite celebrity, a favorite movie, a favorite book, a favorite something. When you adore something, you share it with someone. And what happens? You praise it. You got that one room in the house you weren't supposed, that one couch you weren't supposed to sit on, right? Unless guests came in and they never sat on it, so I broke it. It is what it is, right? Like, this is how we roll, right? We adore it. Do we adore the Lord? Do we understand getting to come into his presence? Do we adore the Lord and what he has done for us? Do we adore him? Because we'll share him. If we do, it'll lead to praise. Adoration leads to praise. I'm going to praise what I adore. And once I praise the thing that is worthy of my praise, which is the very creator God, not only am I going to share it, man, I'm going to keep having that moment. And man, I'm going to keep wanting to do it more. Not only am I going to pray in the morning, I want to pray before I go to bed. Because you know what I'm going to be doing in eternity? I'm going to be praying. Because God knows I ain't singing all the time. I'm going to be praising the best I can, but I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be excited. When I say holy, 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 it's because I'm praying to myself. Do you see? Holy, holy, holy. Do we adore our daily bread? See, when we praise something that wasn't supposed to sustain us, it will only crush it. We share it every year when we do our marriage series, which we'll do in a couple of weeks. Spouses, if you think your spouse is your salvation, you will crush them because they cannot sustain you. Anything that is not praise, that is not God, anything you praise that is not God, will crumble. But when you praise God, there's something about him, right? It sustains you. It holds you together. It makes you want to share it with everyone. See, praise points our love and affection the right way. Because adoration and praise gives way to thanksgiving. Once I adore something, I will give thanks to it. As a matter of fact, I want you to think of it this way. If we did not thank the Lord for our daily bread, you know what we would be doing? Breaking the first commandment. I'm the Lord your God. You should put no other God before me. Do you know when we don't thank God for our daily bread, we're putting another God before him? We're putting the delivery driver before him. We're putting Krispy Kreme, more on that. I said Krispy Kreme before him. We're putting the Hardee's biscuit before him. We're putting the Bojangles Bo-Berry biscuit before him. We're putting the Chick-fil-A biscuit. I said it. They're closed. Sorry. Who did it tomorrow? We put that before him. So we are called to give thanks, but the reason we don't give thanks is we're adoring the wrong thing, which means we're praising the wrong thing. So maybe if you don't have thankfulness to the Lord, it's because you're looking at the wrong thing. Really quickly, how do our prayers have praise? Well, let's look really quick one more time at verse 18. Paul says, how wide is the love of Christ? He wants us to know how wide is the love of Christ. So just homework this week. Don't have to do it now, but I asked the two questions last week. If you want to journal or you take prayer journals when it comes to this, or you want to dive into there, when you read that and it says, I want you to grasp how wide, what does that mean to you? What does it mean for you? What does the Holy Spirit teach you? When you say, I want to grasp how wide the love of Jesus is, Psalm 103:12 says he cast our sins from the east, as far as the east is from the west. How wide Christ is, his love is for us. The next thing that he says is how long his love is for us. And long and wide kind of go together. When we think about Christ's wide open arms on the cross, that parents, I just said it, we're always welcomed home if we turn to Christ. When we talk about how long the love of Christ is from the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ was always the plan for our salvation. There was no plan B from our creation. From before we were even put on this earth, Jesus was the plan. God knew we were going to turn our back on him. And he already had a way for us to get back to him. How long? How long is the love of Christ before the foundations of the earth for us? Before we even took our first breath. How deep is the love of Christ? How deep is the love of Christ? If you were unpacking that, what does that mean for you? And what is the Holy Spirit teaching you? That's what you want to put in your journal time and your prayer thing. How deep? Jesus went to the deepest pit we could be in, death. And he rescued us from it. He meets us in the pit, in the worst part of our life, in the mire, in the misery. How deep? The Father's love for us, right? I'm thinking in my brain right now. I'm sorry, it's going there. But how deep and how high that Jesus was seated at the right hand of God, had everything, the kingdom, the keys, he had it all. But instead of staying there, he stepped down. He came to us, for us, in spite of us. To make a way so that God wasn't way up there, but that God could live in here through him. What does that mean for you? What does the Holy Spirit tell you in that moment? See, that's what prayer that is full is about. You could take one verse and it could be a well that you just go back and just keep digging and digging and digging, and I'm telling you, if you trust the Lord, you may read that one verse all year, and it may be just what you need. That's why I'm praying as we go through this series that we know the Lord better. I mentioned Krispy Kreme. How many of us would say Krispy Kreme donuts taste good? They're sweet, right? Real sweet, right? Can you think back to the first time you had a Krispy Kreme donut? We grew up with it here, so I don't even know if I remember my first time. I probably was born at Mary Black, and then we went straight from Mary Black to Krispy Kreme, and my mom just probably shoved it right in, and I just swallowed it. You know, it was good, hot, and now you didn't even have to chew it. Just go straight down, right? But think about it. Maybe you've got a friend from out of town. I remember being out in Washington, and they didn't have Krispy Kremes. And people, like, they opened. I remember the first one, I think it was It might have been in Seattle, but it may have been Tacoma when they opened it. And it was a three-hour wait to get in. It was wrapped around the building. That like, people were standing. I'm like, it's crazy. I can just pull in when the hot and outside. Like, I don't know. What are you talking about? So let's use that example. Why did they go there? Because they heard that Krispy Kreme was what? Good, right? It was sweet. It was worth it. So they had knowledge that Krispy Kreme was good. But now I want you to say, after they ate that donut, did it change them? Yeah, because why? Because they experienced it. They got it in them. Then all of a sudden it opened their door. They went from original glaze. Now you got what? Custard filled, cream filled, chocolate covered sprinkles. You got all over. Peanut butter filled. They got all kinds of stuff they put in there. I don't know. Spinach filled, artichoke filled. I don't know. They probably put asparagus filled for all I know. Everything. You have different types of Krispy Kreme sweetness. And you can talk about what it is. And it moves you a different way. Church, that's what prayer and praise is. Tasting the sweetness of the Lord in a different way every time. And I can spend my whole life telling you how sweet it is and missing out experiencing it. But once I've experienced it, I can't stop telling you how sweet it is. As you hear that prophet James Taylor singing, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Come on, you went there for a minute, right? I was going to get on the drums. Da-dum, da-dum, how sweet it. No, see, that's what God is singing to us in prayer. How sweet it is to be loved by you, because now you know my love for you. Every time we pray. So I wonder if maybe we had a sin we were stuck in, and so it makes us want to run like Adam and Eve in shame and not pray. I wonder if we're in the midst of a season of Job, and we're just tired of praying to the Lord to move, and we're wondering if he's ever going to come through. I wonder if we're like Elijah and Elisha. We're trying to pray for rain. We're praying for fire to come down in the midst of that moment that we just want to give up praying. If we would just take a minute to praise. We would take a minute to pray and taste the sweetness, the fullness of who God is, so that we can fully know who we were created to be. See, for those of us in Christ Jesus, prayer makes us receive that daily bread, the sweetness of that daily bread, and not only live it, but share it. For those who don't have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as we once did, they're walking around without the sweetness of Christ. They're chasing the sweet and lows of this world. They're chasing the pink packets and the yellow packets and the saccharin, and they're trying to find everything in this world, the imitation stuff, you know, the not real sugar stuff, and they're chasing things that will only give them temporary satisfaction. But once they've tasted the sweetness of the Lord, just like us, they'll never turn back. So today, for those of us in Christ, I pray that we would know a deeper depth of the sweetness of the Lord in our prayer, and it shows by what we praise. For those who don't know Jesus, I just want to ask you, if you're hanging out with us, we're thankful you're here online or even listening to this. I want you to know this time is appointed and anointed, that God has chosen you to hear this specifically right now. When are you going to stop chasing those things that don't satisfy? When are you going to stop going after the fake sugar and the fake stuff and actually experience the real stuff that's found in Christ alone? And you may say, how in the world do I do that? Well, we've shared this all the way through. The prayer that God hears is the prayer of faith. Paul writes it in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. He says it this way: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth you profess your faith and you are saved. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith. It's the faith. This is the moment where you say, Jesus, I've spent my entire life trying to save myself, do for myself what I can't do, what only you can do. Sin had left us in a spot of brokenness, and God loved us enough to said, hey, I got something better than Krispy Kreme donuts, but you just got to open the box and receive it. And so for each of us that were dead in our sin, sin is anything that isn't perfect. That's against the will of God. That's what we learned up, but not perfect. Anything that's not perfect is sin. And I don't know about you, I can't do anything perfect in this life. And instead of being left helpless and hopeless, God said, I'm going to send the perfect thing for you, perfection itself in my one and only Son, to live the perfect sinless life you couldn't live. And not only do that, die the death that you deserved for your sin once and for all, being an eternal sacrifice for you. But instead of you waiting until eternity to taste the sweetness and the fullness of what you were created to be all the way without sin from the beginning, Jesus rose again on the third day and left an empty tomb and said, the thing that is the most bitter you will ever taste on this side of eternity is death. And he defeated it. And so today, we're going to pray this prayer out loud. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And so we pray as a family together out loud. So with every head bow and every eye closed, I want to ask everyone right now in our Vine fam to repeat these words after me for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the house or you're watching online, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. If for the first time you've received this free gift of salvation that is found through Christ alone, if you prayed that prayer of faith for the first time and meant it, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand boldly on the count of three. One, two, three. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, if you're online right now, you may see a hand that's raised. You can leave the raised hand emoji. You might see a link there that you can click, thevine.tv/response. You can shoot us a text message or message us in the app. Shoot us a text message at 864-580-6698. We want to celebrate this decision with you. You just opened something that's greater than that box of Krispy Kreme donuts, that's sweeter, that will sustain you and isn't empty calories. It's actually going to fill you for all of eternity, and that is Jesus Christ. This isn't the finish line. Salvation is the starting block, and we want to help you celebrate that by getting you connected with a local church near you. And for the rest of us, I pray, you could go ahead and look up. I pray today as we have this moment of praise to send us out into the streets to share the sweetness of Christ with everyone we come in contact with today, because we have got to receive our daily bread. I pray in this moment, once again, if we're carrying anything right now, maybe nobody knows anything about, we lay it down in this praise. We lay it down in this worship song, and we don't pick it up unless Jesus calls us to. And we go out in that street, and we got our daily bread, and we share. We say, hey, here's some Krispy Kreme donuts. Let me tell you about something that's sweet as Krispy Kreme donuts. Let's go get them. And we share it with everyone he places in our path. Because I promise you, if we trust him with faith in that, it's going to be just what that person on the other side of you needs to hear. So would you stand and sing?
Lift your eyes and offer your heart. everything that you have spoken will come to pass. Let it be
a flood of Krispy Kreme donuts. Praise Jesus' name. We receive his rain. We're so thankful that you are here. We're going to pray together here in just a moment, but we want to make sure that you join us next week as we continue our prayer series. And I can't wait to see what Jesus has in store for us. So as folks make their way up here, we just want to invite you and see your smiling face and always remember the best is still yet to come.